In our Sunday School series for these, roughly the first half of this term, we're thinking about evangelism, what it means to be priests for God in this world and in our lives and in our lips, holding out the gospel to a world that does not know the Lord Jesus. And we're thinking particularly this morning about the world of work and what it means with our lives and our lips to be faithful to Christ in and through the workplace. Wes Illingworth, come on down the front. It's really lovely to welcome Wes, who's going to lead us this morning. Wes previously worked in a range of jobs around central London. He was a civil servant for a while. For most, I think, of the last 10 years, even more. For most of the last 10 years or so, Wes has been on the staff of St Helen's Bishopsgate down in the City of London. And a big part of, well, actually you tell us in a minute what your current role is, but Wes is going to lead us both in Sunday School now, and he's going to preach for us later on in church. I'm going to hand over to you. Tell us anything we need to know, pray for us, and then crack on.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. It's very good to see you. Thanks for being here. Am I allowed to stand, or do you need to sit in a kind of jaunty? Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this amazing truth that you have made us your people, your special people, to declare your praises in the world. And Father, we pray that you would help us to encourage each other this morning with practical ways, but most of all by pointing each other to the Lord Jesus. Please help us to remember him and remember how good he is as we think about how to help our colleagues to know him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so as Andrew said, I work at St Helens, and we're trying to reach people in the workplaces of around St Helens, and there's a little team of us trying to do that, including Sim here, Will, Bob, a few others who work at the car, work in and around St Helens, so together we're trying to make Jesus known around us. So this morning we're thinking particularly about making Jesus known in our workplaces. So hopefully you've got a handout. I haven't got one, but like this. And the first couple of questions, I'd just love it if you chat in pairs for five minutes or so. And two questions: why is the workplace a good place to speak about Jesus? And secondly, why is it a hard place to speak about Jesus? So in pairs, 5 minutes. I guess we all work in completely different environments. Some of us will work with lots of other people, some of us will work with very few people. But let's just hear a few ideas. Let's start with what makes it hard. What makes it hard to speak about Jesus in and around the workplace? So while you're doing your work, but also when you socialize with people after work, what kind of things make it a bit hard?
You don't want people to not like you.
You don't want people to like you. Yeah, your image at work is really important, isn't it? Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Brilliant.
I think when you're actually working, it's what you're paid to be doing.
Yeah.
So I think there's that kind of tension between I'm paid to be working, but I actually want to be serving Jesus as well.
Yeah. And doing what you're supposed to be doing is part of serving Jesus as well. So yeah, it feels like how much time should I spend speaking about Jesus, and how much time should I spend cracking on with whatever job I'm doing? Yeah. Anything else?
Often in a group, and it can be almost a bit hard to be one person again with four other people.
Yeah.
You feel like, I don't know, you're not, it's not a one-to-one conversation, it's not in a social situation.
Yeah, that's right. You'd be overheard when you're having a conversation. Yeah, it can make it a bit tricky. Yeah. Brilliant. What about some of the opportunities at work? What makes the workplace a good place to speak about Christ?
I think you may be the only Christian that person has any involvement with.
Yeah.
So you might be that one person that God's put in that place for that reason. And we ought to remember that.
Yeah, very helpful. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Got a long time to expose yourself to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, your neighbour, you'll only see for a few minutes every week, so
yeah.
So your colleagues will see for hours a day. So there's a lot of just sheer time.
Brilliant.
For them to see you, for you to see them.
Great. Long-term relationships over a long period of time. They get to hear what you say. They also get to see how you live, how you react differently. Hopefully they get to see the difference Christ has made in your life. Brilliant. Other things that...
There's just lots of opportunities to serve others.
Speak out loud, Carl.
There's lots of opportunities to serve others in the workplace. So if colleagues are struggling with something, to get your head up and offer to help. And when you stand out like that, it does look a little bit different. To selflessly take on others' tasks and help them out. And then that will hopefully give you a chance to speak.
Really good point. I suppose that's the flip side of Will's point, isn't it? People get to see us, but we also get to know them and think, how can we help them get to an insight into their lives over a long period of time? You can really make a difference. Yeah.
You may also be working with peers and colleagues at sort of your same level and sort of same wavelength. So it may not be a bad idea to actually, for you to be able to share that and speaking to somebody higher up or somebody lower down and be able to speak to peers.
Yeah, I suppose that's a kind of makes it hard in some ways. You've got those different dynamics. Your boss, speaking to your boss is a slightly different dynamic to the people you're managing perhaps, and then your peers. But also that gives you opportunities as well. Yeah, great. Let's just spend a couple of minutes thinking about why we should bother to try to speak about Jesus at work at all. I'm not going to spend a long time trying to persuade you of this, but please do think about it. If you're not persuaded, then chat to me or chat to someone else afterwards. It's definitely worth thinking about. But we know that the Lord Jesus wants us to speak. So Matthew's Gospel, we're at our lunchtime talks at the moment, we're working through Matthew's Gospel, and I've been really struck by how often Jesus is talking about the spread of the Gospel. So he tells his disciples he wants his message to be announced from the rooftops. He tells his followers it's going to be hard, but he wants them to do it. He's going to be with them. He talks about the parable of the seeds. He wants a widespread broadcasting. So he doesn't want his followers just to pick and choose who they tell about him. He wants it shared really widely when you're kind of like scattering seed in a wider sense. And then right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, you hear Jesus say, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's a big thing. But then you might say, but why at work? Why not just focus on our kind of Sunday friendships or people around our homes, people in our families? Work is, as Natalie said, we're meant to be at work, so do we really need to bother thinking about sharing the gospel while we're at work? Well, let me just give you a few ideas that I think persuade me about why the workplace is such a good idea from Acts. Again, this will just be very quick, so don't worry about looking up the verses too much. I'm sure you're relatively familiar with Acts. But you remember right at the beginning of Acts, Jesus has got his apostles around him, the 11 apostles. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells them that he wants them to be his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And you think, well, how on earth is that going to happen? How is this little group, 11 disciples, we know how hopeless they are. How on earth is Jesus' message going to spread to all of those places and to the end of the earth through them? But then as the Acts develops, you see it's through their message. They are the authoritative bearers of the message. But it's not just through that little group. At Pentecost, we see that God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, is given to all followers. You remember that bit about where Peter explains the Spirit coming at Pentecost and says, this is making people prophets. So from now on, young men, young women will have visions and dreams and they will be prophets. And the idea there is not that they'll be prophets in the sense that they'll see into the future, but they're prophets in the sense that they will speak the word of God. So then you think, wow, okay, I can see how this might happen. Jesus is equipping his people with his Spirit to enable them to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. And then you see in chapter 8, you remember the people are booted out of Jerusalem, there's persecution in Jerusalem, and believers are sent out, scattered outside Jerusalem. The apostles remain in Jerusalem, and then it's those everyday believers that take the gospel out. So it's not just the kind of elite group, it's normal Christians who are spreading the gospel. But then what about the workplace? Well, then a bit later in Acts, you start to see how the gospel spreads. So you remember when Paul gets to Athens, he looks around at Athens, he looks at the idols, and he's really provoked, and he thinks these people here need to know that they're worshipping the wrong God, they need to know the true God, and he gets really worked up about it. And he goes to the synagogue, but then he goes out of the synagogue and he goes to the marketplace, he goes to the square where people are, where things are happening. And from that point in Acts, you see that kind of thing again and again. So similarly in Ephesus, Paul goes to the synagogue first, doesn't get a very good response there, and then he goes to the Hall of Tyrannus, the daily lecture hall, and every day for 3 years he's speaking in the centre of Ephesus, and in such a way that the whole of Asia, we're told, hear about Jesus Christ. And what you're seeing through that period, that bit of Acts, is that Jesus is pushing his gospel, Jesus is sovereignly in control of it, he's pushing his gospel out of the private sphere of the synagogue and the Sabbath into the public square, the public sphere of the marketplace, where people are, where people work. And so I think you see there that that is what big part of Jesus' tactics is, not keeping the gospel to a particular religious sphere, but he's getting out into the ordinary walks of life. So I think when we get on board with that, we're in line with what Jesus has been doing down through the centuries. So there is, don't have this kind of secular, sacred sort of divide in our minds. He wants his gospel public, he wants it spread to all people, and the workplace is an obvious place to do that. So ask me more about that if you'd like to. But then let's think about how we go about doing that. So I think Carl, if you were here last week, well, Carl's been running the last couple of weeks, I think, and he said that he got you to fill in a list of columns of people that you know in different spheres of your life. So there's a column for people you know in your leisure activities. I'm not sure what leisure activities you guys have out here in Essex, but I won't try and imagine. But then you have your family, you have church, people you know at church, and then you have people you know at work. I think there's one other one as well, I can't remember.
Neighbours,
that's right. And he asked you to write down people you know in each of those areas of your life. Well, for this morning, I'd like you just to focus on people you know at work. So just take 1 minute and fill in this grid with people that you see regularly at work. So please don't worry about whether you've had chats with them about the gospel or whether you think they're open to hear about Jesus. Just think, how many people... what people do I see pretty regularly in and around work? And just scribble down as many names as you can think of. So if you're a piano teacher, it might only be one or two. If you're working in a big office, you'll have hundreds. But just write the first few names that come to your mind. Okay, thanks for doing that. Okay, if you flip over now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, on your own, just answer a few questions in your own mind. I'm going to go through them first so you get the vague idea. So when, as Andrew said, I did a number of jobs before I started working full-time at a church. And this is how I would have answered these questions, I think. So, first question, have the people in your mission field, so all those names that you wrote down in those boxes, that's your mission field, that's your parish, you're the vicar for that little group of people, whether you know them well or not, they are the people the Lord has put you amongst. That is your mission field. And if I think about my mission field when I was at work, had they heard that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour, what do you think they think the Christian message is all about? So if I think back to the guys I worked with, a lot of them would have heard a bit about Jesus, but I think a lot of them would have assumed that it was lots about rules and regulations. Jesus was going to spoil their life. I think that would be what a number of them would say. Some of them just wouldn't really have much of a clue. Some of them would have quite a Christian sort of background, and they would think that Jesus is a kind of moral teacher and valuable up to a point, but not really relevant. That's kind of what a lot of them would have thought. But I don't think many of them really were clear that he was their Lord, that they were going to meet him as judge, that he had a right to rule their life, and that he would be really good for them to follow him. I'm not sure a lot of them would have got that. Second question, do they know that you're a Christian and that you would love nothing more than to talk to them about Jesus and look at the Bible with them? Do they think you're approachable? If they were angry about something they'd heard in the news about Christians, would they tell you? Or do they think you'd be offended? If they faced some kind of suffering and had questions, would they feel able to ask you? Now, as I think back to my friends, I think some of them, most of them knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I was quite involved in church. We had a few conversations here and there in the pub and things like that. They knew that I was a Christian. But looking back on it, I think a lot of them would have thought, yeah, Wes is a Christian, he doesn't swear, he doesn't get drunk. but, and he's an okay sort of guy, he's a nice bloke, but if I told him what I really think about Christians, he'll be a bit offended. I think they would have thought that, because I wasn't like very overt about it. I was kind of waiting for opportunities. I'd have a few chats here and there. And I think they'd have thought I was approachable, but I think they'd have thought, oh, he'll probably be a little bit sort of put out if I ask him. And I think if one or two would have come to me if they'd had big questions, but I think a lot of them would have, they didn't really kind of think that I really thought it was important for them to know. Do you see what I mean? I think they thought, Wes has got this thing that he does, and he doesn't really push it on me, but to such a degree that they wouldn't really feel that I wanted them to know. And lastly, if asked, would they say that your behaviour in and around the office is broadly consistent with the Christian message? And I think, again, I think they would have thought, yeah, up to a point, but I think I didn't tell them enough about what being a Christian is all about, so I think all that they would have thought about is the fact that I didn't swear and I didn't get drunk. That probably would be the extent of what they'd say. So just take 2 minutes and just try and answer those questions with that mission field in mind, with that group of however many you wrote down. Try and answer those questions with those in mind. Okay. Just to say, what I'm trying to do at this point, I think, is trying to get us to think that the question shouldn't be so much, am I doing evangelism? Often when we come to these kind of seminars and we hear about evangelism, my reaction is thinking, am I doing any evangelism? Or say there's an evangelistic event coming up in church, carol services, or a special event, I think, oh, have I got someone to bring? Yeah, I've got a couple of people I can bring, great. I can bring them and it makes it look like I'm doing a bit of evangelism. Whereas what I'd love us to think is, rather than thinking about what we're doing, think first and foremost, what about these people that the Lord has put me with? Where are they at? What can I do to help them move on? How can I help them know who Jesus is? How can I help them know that I'd love to chat to them? I'd love to open the Bible up with them. I'd love to take them further. So trying to move us from being reactive, restrictive, just waiting for opportunities, to being a bit more proactive and intentional and thinking, here's a mission field, how can I reach this group? How can I expose them to Christ? I can't force them to become Christians, I can only offer it, but how could I do that? How could I make sure that they know that the offer is there? So the tennis court there is just, that's a tennis court by the way, is just to say the aim is that they know that the ball is in their court. They know what somehow I've communicated to them, who Jesus is, and they know that I would love nothing more to answer their questions, however rude they are, however provocative they are. I'd love to open up the Bible with them or introduce them to others or help them. They know that the ball is in their court. None of them could come away and say, I worked with that bloke, Illingsworth, but he never told me, I never heard anything. And he was just, you know, he just kept it to himself. They know something about Jesus, they know what the gospel is, and they know the offer is there. I've shown them ways they can find out more. So for our last bit of our time together, I'd love us just to think, how do we do that? So this is now over to you a bit more. So how do we do that? How can we help people in our mission field hear about Jesus and know that we want to help them find out more? So first of all, I think you've done quite a bit of work on this already, according to Carl. So we want to know ourselves, what is Jesus' message? What should we include? And I've put sort of four big elements there, and you'll see that on these kind of presentations of the Christian message. I think Carl, you've been through those, right?
This one.
Yeah, Carl said you've been through that one, the kind of... So it's things like helping people realize who Jesus is, that he is really relevant to everyone. He's everyone's ruler and judge. He's not just saying, hey, I can forgive you from your sins if you want. It's much bigger than that. He is everyone's Lord, everyone's Savior. So I think, if you're not familiar with the gospel, you think, I don't really know it, then please make sure you take that away, get someone to meet up with you, think, can we go through the gospel just so I'm really clear on it? But let's move on. How can we personally communicate Jesus' message at work? So how can we? What kind of things could we do on our own to help people both? Well, first of all, how can we help them hear the gospel? How can we make sure that they've understood or at least they'd be presented clearly with the Christian message? What kind of things could we do? Shout out your ideas, shout out things that you've seen that have been useful. You've got this group of people work around you. How can you try to make sure that they know who Jesus is and why he's relevant to them?
I suppose you just carve out an opportunity outside of work. You want to go for a coffee.
Great.
Over some of those things we talked about in the office. That's what I did with a student once. I worked at a college. I said to him, why don't we go out for a coffee when it's a bit more relaxed and we can talk about some of those things in a bit more detail.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Out of the office. Out.
Yeah.
I wondered if there's a, that depends on personalities though. Like, I wouldn't find it hard to say someone like this, let's go for lunch together, but some people might hate the thought of going to for lunch and having to make conversation, even as Christians. So
yeah.
I wonder how people with different personalities and preferences, how they get around that.
Yeah, what do people think? Any other thoughts on that?
It goes to the two statements on the second page, at the top of the second page. We could be more explicit about those. Number one, have they heard that Jesus is Lord and Savior? So be more explicit about saying that in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And number two, do they know you're a Christian and that you love nothing more than to talk to them about Jesus? Again, be really explicit about that.
Yeah.
If they never come back to you, then at least you've
Great. Any thoughts on how we can do that? So, great idea, take people out for lunch or for coffee. Will saying sometimes that can feel a bit awkward. Any more thoughts on how we would get that across?
So my husband was always a lot more overt about things. So he was quick, like, stupid things that were just kind of conversation start was on his computer.
Yeah.
He had a little nativity scene on his desk.
Great.
And just like
come to work dressed up as a donkey, that'd be great.
But it did always kind of cause conversations to happen. I also know someone else who would, every time we went on a Christian event, he'd buy like a mug or a piece of memorabilia so he could say, oh, this is what I did at the weekend, yeah, this is great, let me tell you about it. And it's down to what Will says, like maybe it's a personality thing,
and
what's best in that environment.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think it's thinking about what you've got going on. And how can
keep it nice and loud, Carl.
It's thinking about what you've got going on and how can you get that into conversation, into a normal way. I was once given a piece of amazing advice, which was to talk about natural things spiritually and talk about spiritual things naturally. So people can see that it's a part of your everyday life. So this week I was at a Christian conference Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. I went back into the office on Thursday and people said, where have you been? I said, I was at a conference. Well, what sort of conference? Oh, we were learning how to tell people about Jesus. Oh, go on then, tell me about Jesus. I was like, this might be an opportunity. But I think it is just being completely open and natural about your faith. It isn't something that we need to hide. So that people do know.
Yeah, well, someone says, what did you do on the weekend? You tell them all about Saturday. You naturally just reel off how fabulous Saturday was and you completely don't say, and I went to church on Sunday.
Thanks, Sarah.
I think on the flip side of that, what can be difficult is I sometimes find with my friends, I put out there about going to church, doing Bible study with mums, put out lots of different things and it literally just falls on deaf ears. Sometimes it's working out how to be a bit more explicit than just saying what you're doing, because I find it hard to get past that. I've done these things, but actually, then what? If it's not receptive.
I came across a recent etiquette in an aeroplane, the idea of a few things that were sort of like in the middle seat, your right to the armrest. And one of them was your right not to be spoken to.
Well,
that's actually quite built into people's psyche. I don't want to be invaded.
Right
to thought space. So I think it's quite important to just strike a conversation with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the subject can go anywhere. I think it should naturally go to Jesus. Mm. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Actually getting the conversation going, in my experience, is the biggest problem.
Yeah. Great.
I think we have to be careful what words we use, especially that very first touch point. It's something that I think just do turn off people. So if I say, oh, I'm going to a lunchtime sermon,
yeah,
you might think, well, that's a bit scary and intense and kind of shouting, you know, hellfire and fury. Whereas if you say, oh, it's a lunchtime lecture where they expect something from the Bible, which is also what it is, I believe, and then people come along and they realize it's not quite as scary as they
thought. Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes just think about your point, Carl, about saying stuff that is very spiritual. For us, it's deeply, you know, I don't know, spiritual, it's really God and Jesus, but for them it doesn't. So talking about it naturally, like, oh, we just get together with people from church, we open the Bible, we talk about it, yeah, rather than saying, oh, I do a Bible study, you might think that's a bit scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Do you have any, I mean, this is an open question, tips for suggestions for people who, one, don't have time, and two, more important, are dealing with serious, serious people can be boring at times. But I'm talking about not the type A person, I will jump up and say, oh, I did this, but you know, that doesn't happen at my workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, every workplace is different, isn't it? I've worked in one team where we would go out together all the time. There's always a lot of chat, and people knew lots about each other's lives. People would come and tell you all kinds of things you didn't really want to know about what they did here, there, and everywhere. And other workplaces, everyone's just like head down. You're just like a bunch of robots. You don't really know what's going on. And I think you've got to work within that. I think building on what my brother said about taking people out for lunch, I think that is really attractive to people, to just get to know people and be the person in the office who's prepared to do something a little bit quirky every now and again, but also prepared to just take an interest in people and ask people questions, personal questions, and not in a nosy way, but just get to know people, show an interest. And then that will lead to Christ if we're prepared for it, if we're thinking, you know, I've heard this on the news, or they're interested in this, how can I take that to Christ? With that ultimate aim of being able to say, get across to somebody, you know, this really matters. This really matters to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm not going to push it down your throat, but I would love to talk to you about it. I think it's so important who Jesus is. He's such good news. This is what he's done in my life. I'd love you to know about it. I'd love to know what you think. Tell me what you think Christians believe. What objections do you have about Christianity? What stops you being a Christian? What annoys you about what Christians believe? Just have a few questions like that. Sorry, go on.
Just what Carl said just made me think, because I find it difficult to reinitiate a conversation. If I've said this years ago or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just what Carl said, just you can bring natural things, put in a spiritual focus on it. So for instance, if I'm worried about school placements, things like that, this is a normal conversation, but then I can say, and I'm trusting God.
Yeah.
And I realise I don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very easy to say, and I'm trusting God that he's going to do the best for me.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Even the job that I do now, it's quite isolating, because I go into different schools, I'm a career advisor, so I've interviewed young people, and it's just head down all day. You have kind of like your links with people in the school, but on a very superficial basis.
Yeah.
And so actually trying to get to a point where you can build relationships. I don't know whether it's God's sense of humour or whatever, but life has been pretty difficult for the last 18 months. And the thing that has kind of prompted the most conversation is people saying, man, like, how are you coping with it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes it is like, you know, you're not always in work environments where there's even opportunity to have much conversation. And so then the emphasis on how you conduct yourself is really important, because you do have to show that you're different, and the way you're handling things, there's a, you know, your motivation is different.
Yeah, great. Brilliant. Let me just run through a few thoughts that I had, and then we'll have a couple of minutes to pray. So how can we personally do it? Well, I think being ready, again, just to reiterate, being ready with a gospel explanation so that you can say to somebody, do you know what Christians believe? And they say, oh, I think it's this, that, and the other. And you can say, would you mind if I tell you what I think Christians believe? and show them a few verses, scribble it down on a bit of paper, give them a few verses, then they've got something. You think, I've got, you know, and then you can ask, what do you think about that? Where do you stand? You've got something going. You can put on what we call in the city a dialogue event. Now, this is very simple. Just invite a few friends. This, I think, you can do whether you know people well or not. You can say, hey, I'm a Christian. I've got a Andrew, my local minister's coming in into the office, or a mate Carl or Sim is coming in, and they're prepared to take any question you want. I know we've all got things that we find hard to ask about Christianity. It can often be a taboo subject. I've got someone to come in, going to go to your favourite pub, I'll buy you your favourite meal, and you can ask whatever questions you like. And I think what that's something like that, or invite them to a talk, or put an advertisement for something up. What that does is just sets off a little grenade, even amongst the people you don't have that relationship with yet. You just say, look, here, I'm a crazy Christian. I want to talk about these things. I'm happy to be challenged. And it gives everyone a chance. Even if nobody comes, they all know that person has put something on that we know about. As Sarah said, talk about what you've learned at church. Be specific. So don't just say, I went to church, because people think, oh, you're just a Bible basher. But say, I heard that Jesus rose from the dead, and that affects everyone. Or, Jesus is really good. Nobody else has lived the life that he's lived. That's what we learned yesterday. You just say something. You've got a natural way of explaining something about Jesus. Be able to say your testimony. I'm sure you've done a bit of work on that. Be able to explain the difference Jesus has made to you. And be ready to offer a bit of a guided read-through of the gospel. So know a gospel well, so you can say, would you like to discuss this with me more? We can meet up for a coffee. Do it with somebody who's the same sex. It would be good advice. But you've got it to hand that you can go through a couple of passages with somebody. Then what about with others? I think it's worth also thinking, are there other Christians I can partner with? So some of us won't be able to do this, but some of us will work with other Christians. And again, is there something we could do together, put something on more formally, that again just sets off a bit of a grenade in the office and lets people know that you're a Christian? They might still think you're an idiot, but at least they know you're approachable and you want to talk. So they know, if I've got any questions, maybe it won't happen for another 10 years, but they'll think, that guy Carl, I know that he'd love to talk to me. I've got these big questions. Suddenly my wife's got cancer, or I'm just trying to think how to bring up my kids, or I've lost my job. I'll go to him and give him my questions. And then how do we make it clear that we're approachable and happy to talk? We've said a lot of this stuff already, just prepared to go out of our way, initiate relationships. I think that really stands out in our day and age where people are so often self-focused. To be someone who actually shows an interest goes a really long way. And generally, be the kind of person in the office who's prepared to be challenged. So I remember someone who's quite senior just telling me that what he tries to do in any area, whatever subject, he tries to make it clear that he can be challenged. So that when it comes to the gospel and he invites people to something or he talks to them, they know that they can tell him what they really think. He's not going to be too scary. Finally, I think someone mentioned this to me yesterday. It's a really good point. If we can, because often we hear this kind of thing, don't we? We think, oh yeah, okay, I'll try and make a bit more of an effort, but then it sort of fizzles away. Is there somebody else at Emmanuel, or two or three people who will ask you, how's it going in your workplace? Your workplace is your mission field. How is it going there? So maybe could you spend a minute now just thinking, who is that one or two people who I will say, please can you ask me, can we pray together once a fortnight or every now and again, you can ask me, how is my mission field at work going? You've got people who will encourage you. Spend a minute doing that, and then in pairs, pray for one person that you'd like to share the gospel with at work. So think of somebody who could be a co-pilot, or one or two, and then pray for one person with your neighbour.